Thank you for listening to this message from the pulpit of Coon Rapids Baptist Church in the suburbs of Minneapolis, Minnesota.
The book of Psalms, Psalm 23. And as I mentioned a moment ago, I do want to encourage you to make the effort to grab your copy of the scriptures or open your Bible app or your computer, whatever, and have the Word of God in front of you. And be following right along with the Word of God. I want to begin with a question here this morning. I want to ask you a question to consider. And it's the title of our message this morning. Why should you turn to Jesus during the COVID crisis? Why should you turn to Jesus during the COVID crisis? See, someone may very well ask you that exact question. That someone may be unsaved and this whole COVID crisis has that person thinking about it. And they're thinking about spiritual matters. They're thinking about things that they haven't thought about in a long time when it comes to spiritual things here. And they're wondering, I wonder if I really ought to think about this Jesus. But what would make Jesus so worth turning to during the COVID crisis? Or maybe there's somebody that has been a Christian, and they've been a Christian for a lot of years, but to be honest, she got mad at God, and she walked away from God, and hasn't really thought about God in a while. Or he's been really, really busy in his life, and with this and that, and has just drifted away from the Lord, and now all of a sudden in this COVID crisis, this person is thinking about spiritual things, and they're thinking, well, why should I turn to Jesus during this? Or we think maybe of you as a Christian. You're walking with the Lord. You're living for the Lord. But to be honest, the COVID crisis hasn't really touched your life that much. You know, you still have plenty to eat. You're not sick. You don't know that many people or anybody maybe who was personally sick with this. It hasn't really turned, or it hasn't really touched your life in a really, really rough way. And so maybe you're just kind of floating through this COVID crisis here. And to be honest, you need to be challenged with turning to the Lord during this crisis and asking God to do some special things in our country, in your friends, and around the world. Why should you turn to the Lord, turn to Jesus during this COVID crisis? To answer that, we're going to come to one of the great and famous and precious passages of the Word of God, Psalm 23. And I want you to see the truths that are brought out in this passage. Let's enjoy these six verses together. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want to look at this passage of Scripture here today. And though it's famous and though there's so much that we can unpack from these verses, we're just going to look at four quick answers to the question that we have here. Why should you turn to Jesus during the COVID crisis? Whether you're someone who doesn't know Christ as Savior, whether you're someone who's been away from Jesus Christ, or whether you're someone who is walking with the Lord, are you really turning to Him passionately during this time? Why should you turn to Christ during this crisis? Father, I thank You for Your Word, and I ask that Your Spirit would speak to our hearts with it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Let me give you four reasons. They're all going to begin with a P, and maybe you might jot them down so that they can be a helpful thing to you. The first one that we're going to see is going to be brought out in verses 1 and 2. With Jesus, I have provision. Now, here we find this Psalm 23 is a Psalm of David. And David, of course, being the famous King David, David was a person who knew hardship. David had been to war and knew the hardships of war. David knew what it was to have someone chasing after him, and if he would have got a hold of David, he would have killed David. David knew the hardships of leadership. David knew hardships even in his own family. What was it that got David through hardships is found in this song. Songs speak to our hearts, and this is one of those songs that speaks to our hearts as we go through the hardship of the COVID crisis here. And David, being a young man who has grown up as a shepherd, he relates it in a way that his original readers would have understood. The Hebrew people understood sheep and shepherding a great deal. David understood the wonderful, loving, warm, caring, protective relationship that a shepherd had with his sheep. Now, I'm guessing that you don't share that same relationship. In other words, you don't really think about all the warmth between a shepherd and his sheep. You've probably never even had leg of lamb. Maybe you have. I think I've tried it once in my life. We don't, as Americans here, most of us, really think a lot about the relationship between a shepherd and a sheep. If it helps you, think of an owner and their pets. Maybe an owner and the dog. And how much they love the dog, they enjoy the dog, the closeness that's there, the way they provide. That level of relationship is what David is talking about here when he says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And the first thing that he brings out here is he's saying, when he talks about the Lord, is that with Jesus I have provision. The New Testament tells us that Jesus is the good shepherd. He is the Lord. And so Jesus is this shepherd. With Jesus, we have provision. You know, in this crisis, there's been a lot of discussion about provision and our needs. Just this week, I saw a little blurb about the first of the month and how the article was saying if you have groceries on your shelves, you may want to not shop on April 1st and 2nd because those people who are living on food stamps and things like that just got their check. And that is their one time a month to really go out and buy groceries. And maybe they were running on a very few groceries until their new check came in. We think of provision. We think of our needs. We talk about people needing medical supplies or small businesses struggling to survive. People losing their paychecks. Stores not having the quantity of groceries that we in America are used to. And these two verses bring out in multiple different ways the greatness of God's provision. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he leadeth me beside the still waters. You see, it was the chief job of the shepherd. I don't know if you knew this or not, but it was the chief job of the shepherd to provide the food and the water for those sheep. They didn't eat their feed in some big feed lot in those days. They had to go out into the pastures, out into the fields, and find food for their sheep, find green pastures for their sheep to eat. One historian tells us that it was the winter of 1910 and 11 in northern Syria, so not far from Israel. There was an unprecedented storm that came through that region. It dropped 3 feet of snow and covered the ground. It took quite some time, several weeks, before that snow could all melt and go away. And they said that hundreds of thousands of sheep and goats died, not because of the cold, but because they couldn't find something to eat. They tell us that sheep struggle to find their own food. They just don't have that instinct to go out there looking for it. They need a shepherd to provide for them. They need a shepherd. And many times, not only to provide them and take them to the green pastures, but also to take them to the water, because in some places of Palestine, they're going to have to walk an hour or two in order to find the water. And the sheep won't find it if they don't have a shepherd. And so when David said, he's leading me to the water and he's providing the grass, taking me to where the green pastures are, he's saying, God provides for me. And listen, I want to put your heart at ease this morning and tell you that the Lord is the most qualified person in all of the universe to provide for your needs. He's the most qualified to meet your needs. The very name Lord, the second word of our song in English, means that He has existed on His own for billions of years. And He never needed an Amazon. He never needed a grocery store. He never needed a gas station. He never needed a doctor. And you know what? God's supplies, all these billions of years later, aren't running low. He created the fruit trees. He created the grain. He created the vegetables. He created the meat. He created the dairy. The average elephant consumes 200 to 600 pounds of food per day. That's a lot of provision. And God provides for every elephant out there. The Lord can provide for you. He's an incredible shepherd. When he says, I shall not want, when David makes that statement, he's not talking about our wants. I want this, I want that. He's talking about our needs. I shall lack nothing. I'm not going to have any of those needs. When I go to the Lord in prayer, he's going to meet my needs. Now look, a lot of Americans now are finding relief in the $2.2 trillion government CARES Act. $2.2 trillion. That is going to meet their needs, that's going to carry them over, and that's going to help them. And you know, we're thankful that we live in a nation that can do that. Let me help you wrap your brain around that. The calculatorsite.com gave some of these interesting statistics. Take a stack of $100 bills. I'm sure you have those on the coffee table right beside you. Take that stack of $100 bills and start stacking them up. How many, laying flat, not on their ends, but laying flat, how many $100 bills would it take to get to a trillion? Laying flat. Would it be a foot high stack of $100 bills to get to a trillion? No, it would be more than a foot. Would it be as tall as the IDS Tower, a big skyscraper in downtown Minneapolis? No, it would be taller than that. Airplanes fly at some 30,000 feet, roughly 6 miles for easy figuring. That stack of $100 bills would be taller than where airplanes fly. The International Space Station is 248 miles straight up. That pile of $100 bills would go past the International Space Station. In fact, it would go 631 miles into outer space. That's how many $100 bills stacked up, laying flat, it would take to equal $1 trillion. And the American government has passed $2.2 trillion. And listen, if the American government can provide for your needs in that way, don't you think the God of the universe can provide in an infinitely greater way? The God who created the United States of America, who has blessed the United States of America, if he has done that for our country, God can provide for your needs. Listen to these promises from God. Psalm 37, verse 25. I have been young and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Why should I turn to Jesus during the COVID crisis? He's my shepherd, and with Jesus I have provision. But there's a second truth that I want you to see. Would you take a moment, look in your scriptures at verse number 3. He restoreth my soul. Number 2, with Jesus I have peace. He restores my soul. If there's a word that should stick out to us during this COVID crisis, it's the word soul. It can be translated soul, it can be translated life, it can even be translated breath. You know what the three main symptoms are if you have COVID-19? Fever, one of them being a cough, and one of them being difficulty in breathing. The people who have it very seriously are put on what? Ventilators to help them with their breathing. More and more people are running around wearing masks because of the concern that coronavirus is spread through your breathing. Through coming out of someone's breath. When you're close to someone in the grocery store, you know, you move away from them a little bit because you don't want them to breathe on you. We took our kids out on this last Monday when the weather was nice, and we took a bike ride, and some of my kids were telling me when we passed people that they would hold their breath and go around them so they didn't breathe anything of these people that we were passing on the bike trail there. We think a lot right now, don't we, about breathing. And sometimes I've heard testimonies of parents who knew that they had relatives that had COVID. And here they had their toddler around that relative and they were concerned that their toddler was going to come down to it. And they were down with it and they ran tests and they found out that the test was negative. And the parents breathed a sigh of relief. Probably when this is all over, we're going to go outside and we're just going to breathe a big sigh of relief. You know what it's like to just be able to breathe again? He restores my breath. He restores my soul. And I don't know about you, but there are times in which through this situation, I've done well, been at peace. And then you get clobbered with some news, you get clobbered with some tidbit, somebody says something to you and you're troubled, it takes your breath away a little bit, you start panicking there, you go to the Lord and you give it to Him, and He restores your soul. He gives you that peace again. And David says, that's exactly what God has done for me over and over again. He's given me peace. He's restored my soul. But you know, within that verse number 3, there's another truth that goes with it. The word restore can be the idea of turning my soul, turning my life, that God has turned my life around. And the rest of verse number 3 brings out a little bit of that idea when it says, He leads me in the paths of righteousness, that God is putting me into the paths of righteousness. And you know what? There's another aspect to God bringing us to peace through the COVID crisis, and that is that God is often using situations like the COVID crisis to turn people away from things that aren't life, from things that are ruining their lives, to turn them to Jesus Christ. Turning their lives, restoring their souls to that which really matters. So many Americans have thought that sports were life. We have idolized health. We've made a god out of work and our careers and climbing the ladder here. We've idolized musicians and entertainment. Bars are the gods of many people. And it's never been seen before in our lifetimes that this all could be shut down, that it all could be shut down so quickly, so widespread here. And God comes in and He's shut down so many of the idols, so many of the gods that we as people have, so that we can turn to the God who really is our life. He's turning and restoring and returning our life back to Him, leading us in the paths of righteousness. And friend, God is big enough to use the COVID crisis to turn you from things that really don't matter, from things that are our gods, from things that keep Christians from serving God and living for the Lord and doing something that matters for all of eternity. God is big enough to use the COVID crisis to turn people from that, to turn them unto Him. And it matters. I know of one man that had gone through some difficulties in his life several years ago, and through that particular situation, he noted publicly that he had gained 45 pounds. He had gained some weight, and after a while, he was began to be focused in on the fact that, you know, I need to lose some pounds, and so he worked hard. He lost 45 pounds. He got all done with his weight loss and was maintaining his weight. He went to the grocery store. He went down the aisle to where the baked goods are, to the flour, the sugar, and whatnot, and he picked up 9 5-pound sacks of flour and held them in his arms. And he thought, I lost all of this weight, 45 pounds. Imagine just everywhere you go, walking around carrying extra 45 pounds of flour with you. And now he can set that down, and his life feels totally different. Friends, we are weighted down with so many idols, with so many cares, with so many other things that the American people have been going after. And God has come through and helped us to get rid of those things so our life can be turned to what really is life, the paths of righteousness. And in thereby doing, we can really have peace. There are all sorts of people that are wealthy Americans, famous Americans, and they would just seem to have the glamorous life, the life that you would want. The life that most people here might think, boy, that's the good life. But you get them behind the scenes, you get them at the end of their life, and they say, no, that's not the life that I want. And there are other people other Christians who go through a difficult life, And yet they walk with the Lord and they know what it is to have a good life. It's not all those other things. They go through a difficult life and yet they can walk with the Lord. They have the shepherd. They have His provision. They have His peace. And they can say, you know what? It's been a good life for me. I have His peace. And so, why should I turn to Jesus? Because I have His provision, because I have His peace. But there's a third truth that I want you to see down from verse number 4. I have a person that cares. With Jesus, my shepherd, I have a person that cares. Yay. The word yay isn't cheering. Yay. The word yay is, hey, I've been talking about all this, but let me add something awesome on top of it. There's something else that's here. And he talks about one of the worst possible situations, going through the valley of the shadow of death. And he says there's something special about this, that I have this one that is with me. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. That God is there. You know, we're going through quarantine. People are staying at home. They're not seeing their friends at school. They're maybe seeing less of their relatives. They're seeing less of people. You know, some people have technology like this and they can see other people. They can talk to other people. They can see them even face to face. Other people don't have that technology. They're largely cut off from the world right now. But you know the awesome thing is? God is with us. If we know Jesus Christ as Savior, God is always there. I saw a video clip of an individual in Wuhan, China. And he had been in his apartment for 40 days. Imagine being in an apartment. I mean, we're thankful here at our place that we've got some yard and some place for the kids to ride their bikes and other things where they can get out and about. We're thankful that we can get on our bikes and go someplace, hopefully, where there aren't many people and get some fresh air like that. But here, these people are alone. But the awesome thing is, with Jesus, I have a person with me, and that person cares. And listen, let me tell you, He knows what it's like to be alone. He knows what it's like to be rejected. He knows what it's like to suffer. He knows what it's like to die. And I have that person with me that cares. Why in the world would I turn to Jesus? Why would I trust Jesus to be my Savior? Because with Jesus, I have provision. With Jesus, I have peace. With Jesus, I have a person that cares about me all the time. He will never leave me nor forsake me. And the fourth truth that we see is brought out in verses 5 and 6. With Jesus, I know His pursuit. Now that seems maybe a little bit of an unusual way to say it, but I know His pursuit. He talks in verse number 5, he says, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. He kind of shifts to a different metaphor, a different word picture here. And he's talking about coming in and God has a banquet feast prepared for him. When he comes in, God anoints his head. You know, it was very dry over in Palestine. And so it was a sign of hospitality. It was a sign of refreshment to be able to put some oil on your head, be like lotion. And sometimes it was scented, and so it helped you to smell good as well. So when you were welcomed in to be with someone, it was a sign of great love and warmth and hospitality to anoint their head. And then he says, when I sit down to feast, my cup runs over. What an awesome way of saying it. In America, we would say it's a bottomless cup of coffee. Or we would say it's an all-you-can-eat buffet. And David said, God set me down at the table with a bottomless cup of coffee and an all-you-can-eat buffet. He loves me. He's provided all of my needs for me. What an awesome thing he describes here. And he goes on to describe it in verse number 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Goodness? During the COVID-19 crisis, people are dying, and you want to talk about the goodness of God? I've lost my job. I can't pay my bills. I'm stuck at home. Goodness? But we serve a God that is so good that He can take all things and work them together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. And you may not see it, and you may not understand it, and you may not appreciate it at the time, but if you'll trust the Lord, and if you'll walk with the Lord, you will see how God can take these things and work them together for good. And friend, listen, if you do have a need and our church is able to be a help, you let us know. We'll see what we can do. Because God works His goodness through God's people as well. He is a good God. Goodness and His mercy, His loyal love, His mercy. And here's the word, shall follow me. That word follow is the idea of pursuit. They're going to be chasing after me. They're going to be pursuing after me. Friend, I want to tell you that God's goodness is pursuing me. Why? Why would I go after Jesus Christ during the COVID crisis? Because of His pursuit. God is such an awesome God that He can even take something like the COVID crisis and cause it to bring good into my life. Where good is pursuing me, where His mercy is pursuing me, even in this. And maybe today you're listening and honestly you haven't been walking with God. And God has used this crisis to cause you to sit up straight and to pay attention and to say, okay, God, I'm listening. And you know what that is? That's God's goodness pursuing you. Maybe you've been walking with God and some part of this COVID crisis has been a little bit hard for you. There's been some unrest in your soul. There has been a challenge that you've gone through. But you've prayed. It's driven you to the Word of God. It's driven you to God. You've prayed. God has answered and met your need. What is that? That's God's goodness pursuing you. Maybe you don't even know Jesus Christ as Savior today. Maybe you've never trusted Him, but you're thinking about it. What is that? God has used even this crisis to bring you to the place where you say, you know, I ought to give some consideration to putting my faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Savior. God's goodness pursues us. A good life chases us. God's goodness is so good that even through the hardships and even through the difficulties, we have His provision, we have His peace, we have His person with us. That's a good life chasing after us. And I want you to notice the last phrase of verse number 6. Would you look at it in your copy of the Scriptures? And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Did you know that David was on the run for much of his life? And being on the run, he wasn't able to always be at the house of the Lord to worship like he wanted to. And David says, you know what? The day is coming and I'm going to dwell at the house of the Lord. The word dwell can even carry with it the idea of I'm going to return to the house of the Lord. I'm going to go back. And listen, that's what we're saying during these days. And I trust that your heart has that passion as well. And you say, you know what? When the COVID crisis is over, I'm going back. I'm going back to the house of the Lord where God's people gather together. And the presence, Matthew 18 and verse 20, the presence of God is there amongst them. 1 Timothy 3:15, as they're in the house of the Lord and gathered with God's people. And I'm going back. And I hope that's on your heart. I hope that's your passion. And I hope that you'll keep that commitment and go back to the house of the Lord. And David not only says, I'm going to go back to the house of the Lord for a little while here on earth, but he says, I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I just want to be with the Lord and dwell with Him forever. And you and I, what would we call that? We would call that heaven. We would call that heaven, where we go to be with the Lord forever, eternal life. You see, good pursues me all through this life, and then I go to be with Him forever and ever in a wonderful place called heaven. And so we ask ourselves this question, why should you turn to Jesus during the COVID crisis? It's a wonderful thing because we have His provision. We have His peace. We have a person who cares. We have His presence, and we have His pursuit, His goodness chasing after us. I want to tell you, it's the best life in the world to serve God. It may be hard. It may be challenging. It may demand sacrifice. But don't trade it for anything else, because God's peace and His grace and His strength is there to meet you through every step of the way. And so God directed David to describe people as sheep and God as the shepherd, because it fits so perfectly. Isaiah 40 and verse number 11 says this, He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arm and carry them in His bosom, and shall gently lead those people that are with young. 1 Peter 2 and verse 25, For ye were as sheep going astray, but now are you returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. You know, the COVID-19 crisis is a major thing. One of our missionaries' wives is a triage nurse in New York City. She works from home, if I understand correctly, doing online treatment. Thursday morning of this week, she had 5 of her patients that passed away with COVID-19 in the space of 3 hours. Yes, they were a little bit older, but we understand what that is. People in parts of the cities are very worried about how they're going to pay rent. Business owners are watching the bills come in while little to no funds are coming in, wondering if their business is going to survive. We're going through these different things. To whom are we going to turn? Where are we going to go? And maybe you're with us here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, and all of this has you a little bit filled with unrest and a little bit of turmoil in your heart and your life here. And listen, I want to tell you, turn to Jesus Christ. Put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. You can do it right there where you're listening. Trust Him. Make the decision that you're going to turn from your sins. Acknowledge that your sins must be paid for and that Jesus Christ paid for your sins on the cross. And put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ today. Make that decision. Trust in Him alone. Turn to Jesus Christ. Or maybe you're a Christian and you've been away from the Lord for many years. You haven't been in church for years. But today you're watching the service online, and with all the craziness that's going on in our world, you're starting to think about Jesus Christ again. And I want to challenge you, turn to Jesus. He's a wonderful shepherd. And listen, today, if you're a person that knows Jesus Christ as Savior, but you've been away from Him, you need to take a few moments in just a minute, and you need to talk to the Lord about that. You need to ask Him to forgive you for walking away from Him. You need to ask Him to turn to Him, or to help you turn to Him. You need to talk to Him and pray and give that decision to Him. And then I want to encourage you to take a second step. I want to encourage you to text somebody or call somebody or let somebody know, hey, listen, I made the decision. I've been away from the Lord. I've been walking away from the Lord. But now I'm going to follow Jesus Christ with my life. You need to talk to someone. Tell me as a pastor here. I'd love to be able to pray with you. I'd love to be a help with you. Tell your parents. Tell your family. Tell your friends. You need the accountability. But I want to challenge us as Christians. I want to ask you, if you're a Christian and you know Jesus and you would say, yeah, I'm walking with the Lord, are you actually turning to Jesus during this crisis? Because see, what could be happening is you could be just chilling. It hasn't really rocked your world yet. It hasn't really been a problem in your life. And so to be honest, you're going through this crisis, but you can't honestly say you're turning to Jesus. You can't honestly say that you're really connecting with Jesus to help you or to go through this time here. Listen, I want to challenge you to turn to Jesus. Let me give you a couple practical steps. One way you could turn to Jesus during this time is by serving other people. You might be a kid, and one of the greatest things that you can do to serve other people and to turn to Jesus during this time is just get along with your siblings. You might be a teenager, and one of the greatest things that you can do during this time is just to not complain about the limited selection of food that you have. How can you serve? Maybe you're an adult and you say, I want to serve other people, but I don't know how. Go to God and ask Him to show you how. And I want to give you a challenge. Write it down on your sheet. Down below, I give you space for an action step. Will you this week pray and ask God to show you at least one way that you can serve other people this week? Think of one way. It may be somebody in your family, it may be somebody in your neighborhood, it may be somebody even in an online or a virtual type way. How can you serve God this week? That's your homework. There's a second way that you can turn to God. And as you turn to God in this way, I want to challenge you, turn to Him in prayer. Has the coronavirus situation increased your prayer life? Have you said one prayer to God in regard to this? Or is your life just smooth and floating along? Have you prayed for the medical workers? Have you prayed for pastors? We're going through decisions and making decisions on a regular basis that we've never anticipated. We didn't go to Bible college for coronavirus training. Pray for your neighbors. Pray for those people that have it. Pray for our government leaders. And I want to encourage you, if you have a prayer app, get on your prayer app in just a moment, or write it down on your to-do sheet here. Get a prayer app, write it down. I did it in mine this week. I used the Prayer Notebook app for iPhone. And right on there, I wrote down seven things, one thing to pray for about the coronavirus each day of the week. You need to be praying. You need to be turning to Jesus through the coronavirus situation. Don't just float through. Don't just think, yeah, it's impacting everybody else. No, you aggressively turn to Him. Pray for revival. Pray that God would use this situation to bring people to Jesus Christ here. One Bible student was looking at this passage, David describing the Lord as being his shepherd. And he suggested that David was like this little lamb that was kind of boasting, kind of bragging, telling everybody else, hey, look over here. Hey, look what I've got. Come just take a look. The Lord is my shepherd. Like this little lamb is bragging about who his shepherd is. Check out who my shepherd is, everybody. The Lord is my shepherd. And friend, when we study Psalm 23, that's exactly how we feel. With His provision, with His peace, with His presence among us and His person there, and with His pursuit of us with goodness and mercy all the days of our life, no wonder we would be like David and say, hey, look at my shepherd. And that, my friends, is the reason that you must turn to Jesus during the COVID crisis.
Visit us at 11164 Hanson Boulevard or online at coonrapidsbaptist.org.